James chapter 5. And here we'll find the story of someone that we learned in Sunday school, someone that we learned at our parents' knees. We're looking at a man called Naaman, a man who had this awful disease called leprosy. And we want to look at this man tonight, Naaman the leper. We're starting to read at verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go to, and go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have there sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes, and said, Am I a God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come nigh to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpha, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the sayings of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And we know the Lord will bless this reading of his own infallible word. Can we ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word? Our Father, we thank thee for the story of Naaman. And Lord, as we look at this story, Lord, I pray that you'll hide man behind the cross. May none be seen but Jesus only. Bless your word tonight. Speak to hearts. For those that know you not as Saviour, Lord, this night they may come and trust thee, who to know is life eternal. And Lord, for the child of God, encourage them in this evil day. And we'll give thee all the praise and all the glory. And every bit of the blessing. Amen. Although Naaman was a great man in a great place. Not only rich, a mighty man of valor, an honourable, a favourite of his prince. The Bible tells us in verse 1, he was a leper. In the Bible, leprosy is a universal picture of sin. Naaman was as great as the world could make him. And yet, in Bishop Hall's book about this man, Naaman, he says this, the lowest slave would not change places with him due to his leprosy. Verse 2 tells us about a little maid. She was taken captive out of the land of Israel and became a maid to Naaman's wife. What a witness this little maid was for the Lord. She could have had harbored resentment when she heard that this man had this awful disease of leprosy. Because he came and he took her away from her family. He took her down to a country that she didn't know. We're not told her name, but she's one of God's precious little nobodies who has got a great reward in heaven. Just very briefly tonight, I want to look at three things about this man, Naaman. I want us to look at Naaman's miserable condition. Then secondly, I want to look at his mistaken conceptions. He kept going to the wrong places. But you know, thirdly, we want to look at his marvellous conversion. First of all, we want to look at his miserable condition. We're told in verse 1, his position. He was a captain of the host in Syria. Not only was he the great general of the army of Syria, he was the captain of the host. And the hosts were the ones that, you could put it, as bodyguards to the king. He was the top man in the army. He couldn't be in a higher position in the army. We're also told that he was a great friend to the king. He didn't need a pass to get in to see the king. He was great with his master. Many of us would never get in to see our king. We would need to get a pass in. But this man here was so friendly with the king, he could go in at any time. The Bible in verse 1 also tells us he was an honourable man. He was well respected with the people. If you had done business with this man, he would have paid up immediately. He was an honourable man. He wouldn't have passed anybody. He didn't look down on anybody. He was such an honourable man. Verse 1 also tells us he was a man of valour. There was no braver man in Syria's army. He was a hero. And I can see the little boys standing with their mummies and daddies. And as this great general comes in his chariot, the little boy pulls his mummy and he says, someday I'm going to be like this man. He was a man of valor. You say to me, Tommy, hold on a wee minute. You said we're going to look at his miserable condition. Yes, we are. Read on. In verse 1. Yes, he was the captain of the host, verse 1 said. Yes, he was a friend of the king, verse 1 said. Yes, he was an honourable man, verse 1 said. Yes, he was a man of valour. But every time you see the word but, something is coming very bad. But he was a leper. He was a leper. First end ends with a but. But he was a leper. Naaman's leprosy had no respecter of person or title. I'm sure he would cover it up with a bit of clothing. But at the end of the day, it was still there. We were never told where this leprosy was. It's the same with sin. People try and cover up their sin. David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, then he sent her husband Uriah to the front of the battle. He sinned against God. He tried to cover up his sin with Bathsheba. You know, people try to cover up their sin. You know, the Bible says, behold, your sin will find you out. The sin of this man would find him out as well. You know, there's a lesson for you and me, child of God, here. This little maid, one day she was maybe going to get water for her family. We normally see that the little maids or the women would go with the pots in their heads to go and get water. And she would go down to the well to get the water for her family. And this great general and his army came in to Israel and took her away from her parents, took her away from her family, took her away from her own place, down to a place that she didn't know the language or she didn't know anywhere else. Wouldn't you think she would have had resentment in her heart for this man? She was working for his wife. And when she heard he had leprosy, she could have said within her heart, "Oh, it serves him right. He took me away from my family. It serves him right." But you know, this little maid had a love for this man's soul, not only for him getting healed physically, but being healed spiritually. And she told her master's wife that there was a man who could help. But I want you to notice something, child of God. This man took interest in what this little maid said. He didn't say, "I'm not listening to her. What does she know? I'm not going away up there to see this boy Elisha. Why should I run away up there?" He saw something in this little maid's life. And you know, child of God, people are watching you and me. And do they see things in your life? This man was in a miserable condition. He had this terrible thing of leprosy. And you know, if this leprosy had got worse, the Bible tells us if it got worse, he would have had to leave his family. He would have had to leave the king. He would have had to leave everywhere and go into the caves and most likely separated from everyone because of this leprosy. But you know, this little maid had a love for this man that he would get healed. You're in this meeting tonight, or you're listening in. My friend, you have something in your life and you're in a miserable condition. You're saying to me, "Tommy, I don't have leprosy." I'm not talking about leprosy. I'm talking about something that's worse. I'm talking about sin. My Bible says the wages of sin is death. My friend, there's a death notice over you if you're still in your sin. If you haven't had your sins dealt with under the precious blood. There was a preacher. He was going over to America to preach. And he was sitting up in the plane and he had his Bible and he was reading his Bible. This man was sitting beside him from America. And he said, "Sir, that's a beautiful back book you have. What is it?" The preacher said, "It's my Bible." And he says, "What are you engaged in?" And he says, "Well, I'm going to America to preach the gospel. I'm taking a gospel campaign." "Oh, you're a Christian, in other words?" "Yes," he says, "I am. I know the Lord is my Savior." He says, "I've never had a Bible in my hand before. Can I see your Bible?" The preacher handed it open to where he was reading. And where was he reading? He was reading in Revelation, that chapter on the great white throne. And the man read down about the great white throne judgment. And he says, "Sir, what's this about?" And the preacher says, "This is God's judgment on men and women who have sat in gospel meetings and have rejected God's way of salvation. This is men and women who have received a gospel tract and have put it into their pocket or threw it to the ground. This is men and women that have heard their loved ones crying for them that they would come and get saved, that they wouldn't end up in a Christless eternity." And he said, "These are men and women who have rejected God's way of salvation." And he says, "What is it meant by this great white throne? And who's the judge?" And he said, "Well, the Bible tells us. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. He says there's books opened here. What's these books they're talking about? The preacher says that is every sin that these people have committed. They haven't had them dealt with under the blood. And at that great white throne judgment, they will be standing before God. And God will say, Jesus will say, that you done that, you done that, you done that. He said, sir, can you escape this great white throne judgment? He said, you certainly can. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he says, when you call in the Lord's name, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. He shed his precious blood. And that blood will wash away all sin. And when you become a child of God, there's a new book. It's called the Book of Life. And you're put in it. Yes, he says, I see it says here. And it says, if their names are not in the Book of Life, they're cast into the lake of fire. My friend, what an awful thing to from a gospel mission meeting to the great white throne judgment. And God will say to you, depart from me. I never knew you. And you're cast into that lake of fire. I often say to myself, Tommy, am I looking into the face of someone who will be at that great white throne judgment? Oh, I plead with you tonight, if you're not saved, folks that's tuning in, or if you're in this meeting tonight, come to the Savior. You know, that man said to the preacher, can I get saved now? The preacher said, you certainly can. And he turned him. And that night, that day, up in the air, in that airplane, that dear man got saved. But you know, the preacher came and the man said, I'd love a Bible. Preacher said, take mine. He says, what are you going to do? He says, I'll get one when I get to America. Many months later, he came back home. And his wife said to him, there's a letter here from someone from America. And he opened the letter. And it was from the man who he led to the Lord in the plane. And he said, preacher, I want to tell you something. My whole family will not be at the great white throne judgment because I led every one of them to the Lord through your Bible. Oh, friend, tonight, this man was in a miserable condition, yes. He was in a miserable condition because of his leprosy. He could have died. But you know, he was in a greater miserable condition. He was not saved. You know, we see his miserable condition, but we want to look secondly at his mistaken conceptions. We want to look at his mistaken conceptions. You know, he went for the, in verse 11, he went for the wrong procedure. He went for the wrong procedure. You know, we read in verse 6, he went to the wrong person, first of all. He went to the wrong person. He went to the king of Israel for a cure. He was told to go to God's servant Elisha, who could point him to the way to be healed. You know, if you had a disease in your life, and your life was going to be lost, and I had someone that could help you, you would go to the right person. You know, there are many people think that they can get to heaven by attending church. Now, don't pick me up wrong. It's good to attend church. But if you're depending on your soul salvation for church, you know you're lost. And many people depend on different things. But the only way to get saved is we find in John 14 and 16. And it's the Lord Jesus is speaking. And he says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He went to the wrong person. And you know, tonight in our meetings across this land, people are going to the wrong person. They're not coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. He went to the wrong person. But I want you to notice in verse 5, he had the wrong price. The Bible tells us that he took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. He thought that money could have bought him salve a help. He thought that this would help him. All he had to do was do this. There are many people depending on their soul salvation and giving money to the church, are also giving money to good causes. You know, it's a good thing to give money to the church. It's a good thing to give money to help good causes. But if you're doing that for your soul salvation, it's just come to my mind. Our old caretaker, Billy Hamill, and myself one night were going round Castlereagh Road in Belfast. And we were knocking on the doors and we were coming and speaking to people. And we knocked the door and this lady came to the door. And Billy, again, was a character. Billy was a boxer. And you would know by his face that Billy was a boxer. When we knocked the door, this lady said, "Are you Mormons?" And Billy said, "What, with a face like this?" You know, typical Billy. But you know, we presented the gospel to her. And both of us were shocked by her answer. She said, "My minister has warned me about you boys." She was a caretaker of the local Church of Ireland church. And she says, "Do you think God is going to keep me out of heaven? Every weekend, I go to my sister's farm and I bring a dozen eggs home to the minister and give them to the minister." She was depending on her soul salvation of bringing a dozen eggs back to the minister. You know, sometimes it's laughable, but you know, friend, it's sad. That woman is depending on her soul salvation by works. Listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians 8, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved." It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We have seen he went to the wrong person. We have seen he brought the wrong price. But I want you to notice in verse 11 the wrong procedure. Notice here Naaman's pride. He thought that Elisha should come out and pray over him and not send out a servant with a message. I can just see this man coming up in his chariot. And he's standing there in his chariot waiting for Elisha to come out. And as Elisha didn't come out, he sent a servant. And I can see this man saying, "Does this man not know who I am? I am the great general of the Syrian army. Why has he not come in to speak to me?" And I can see his rage getting up. And I can see his pride coming up. "Why does this man not come out to me?" You know, many people are in a lost eternity tonight because of pride. They didn't want to see that they were sinners. They didn't want to realize that they were guilty, hell-deserving sinners. They thought they were all right. And this man here, his pride came up. There's a little book I read one day, and it told the story of a maid called Molly. And Molly worked in a great house in London. And Molly had been stealing things, but they couldn't prove it. And they were trying to see if they could find her so they could sack her. But Molly one night was given an invitation to go and hear that great preacher, Charles Spurgeon. She went and listened to Mr. Spurgeon. At the end of the meeting, Mr. Spurgeon said, "Anyone who wants to talk to me about salvation, come into my office." Molly came in. She went in and she spoke to Mr. Spurgeon, and he had the joy of pointing her to the Savior. Molly went back to the house, and the owners were keeping a watch on her, but they saw something different in her. You know, the Bible tells us when we're in Christ, we're new creatures. Old things pass away, and behold, all things became new. And they saw something different in Molly. The lady of the house said to Molly, Molly, we know you were stealing. We were going to sack you. But we see a difference in your life. What has happened? And Molly says, I found the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I went to Spurgeon's meetings and he led me to the Lord. That lady went one Sunday night to Spurgeon's meeting. And there, after the meeting was over, Spurgeon said, anybody wants to speak to me, I'm in my office. The lady walked in. Spurgeon knew her immediately. She was one of the top ladies in London. And he said, Lady so-and-so, if I had knew you were in the meeting, I would give you a welcome. How can I help you? She started to tell the story. And she says, we were going to sack this wee girl, but we've seen a change in her life. And she's told us that she's got saved. Mr. Spurgeon, can I get saved? Spurgeon said, you certainly can. And then she said something that really shocked Spurgeon. Do I have to come Molly's way? Mr. Spurgeon said, dear, we all have to come Molly's way. We have to realize we're guilty, hell-deserving sinners. We have to realize we're on the road to a crisis eternity. We need to ask the Lord Jesus for repentance, and we need to turn from our sin. She jumped to her seat and she says, if I have to come Molly's way, I'll not come at all. And she walked out. Pride. Pride. Maybe that's your problem tonight. You don't realize that you're a sinner. My friend, pride will take you to a crisis eternity. I plead with you. Don't be like this man. But I want you to notice in verse 12, it was the wrong place. He was told God's way of salvation. He was told God's way of healing. He was told that he had to go into the river Jordan and dip 7 times. He didn't want to come God's way. Then he says, is not the rivers of Abana and Pharpah in my own country, are they not better than this Jordan? I've never been in Israel, but my minister, Dr. Brown, was there. And he told me some parts of the Jordan River is really dirty. And I can understand maybe why this man said this, but he wanted to come his way. And you know, that's the same with sinful men. They want, and women, they want to come their way. It was the same in my day. I wanted to come my way. I thought I was all right until my Sunday school teacher showed me that all my righteousness were like filthy rags in the sight of God. You know, this man had to go personally into the river. If he hadn't went personally, he wouldn't have been cleaned. You know, I'm sure his servants and those that loved but you know, there's something else. He was fortunate that he had friends that did love him. And they said to him, sir, if this man had asked you to do something else great, would you not have done it? All he's asking you is to go into the river and dip 7 times. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men and women don't want to do that. They want to get to heaven their own way. But the Bible says there's only one way, through the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened? Naaman went down into the river. He listened to his friends. And the Bible tells us after the 7th dip, he came up again. And he was perfect. The leprosy had left. You know, he done the way that God has sent him to do. Salvation is very simple. Believe and be saved. Repent and be pardoned. Wash and be clean. Naaman had to go personally into the river. And you know, my friend, you need to come tonight personally to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't depend on your wife. You can't depend on your husband. You can't depend on your mother, your father. You can't depend on anybody. You need to come personally to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. With this, I'll close. I lifted a little track the other day, and it told a story about two ladies, two widows, who lived in the Balmoral estate in Scotland at the time of Queen Victoria. Both of them were widowed. Their husbands used to work on the estate, and within 2 months, both of them were widows. They lived in adjoining cottages. And one night, these two ladies had a terrible row. They fell out with one and the other. And one lady went into her own house and she sat down in a rage. And she said, I'm going to have nothing more to do with this woman. I don't want to know her anymore. And she sat in a rage. And then she said, about 8 o'clock, I'm going to my bed. She lay in her bed. And she heard these footsteps coming down her path. And she said, the door, no. I'm not answering the door to that woman. I'm not answering the door. She can knock all night. I'm not answering. And then she heard the footsteps walk away. Then she fell asleep. The next morning she woke up, and like everything, her temper had died. She said, I'm going to make up with my friend. She went in and they hugged each other and kissed each other. And they said, look, we'll never do this again. And she says, I'm sorry. I didn't answer the door to you last night. She says, I wasn't at your door. I'll tell you who was at your door. Queen Victoria was at your door. And she knocked. And you didn't let her in. And she knocked again. And you didn't let her in. And she knocked again. And you didn't let her in. And she walked away. Queen Victoria would call round to these houses of the people. And this lady in her little gospel tract said that Queen Victoria never darkened her door again. She missed the opportunity. And she said, maybe tonight you're reading this little gospel tract and somebody greater than Queen Victoria is knocking on your heart's door and you're saying, I'm not letting him in. And he knocks again at another meeting. And you're saying, I'm not letting him in. And he knocks again at another meeting. And you say, I'm not letting him in. And then you hear his footsteps walk away. And you put that little verse in Genesis. My spirit shall not always strive with man. My friend, could this be the night that you'll hear the footsteps of the Lord Jesus walking away because you've rejected him? Once again, this lady never saw Queen Victoria again. She never called again. This could be your last opportunity of getting right with the Savior. This could be your last opportunity for not being at that great white throne judgment. Oh friend, tonight I would plead with you. Come, just like this man Naaman. Come simply. Come the way believe and be saved. Repent and be pardoned. Wash and be clean. On that middle tree on Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ took the punishment. And that precious blood was shed. And you know what will happen if you come to Christ tonight? See that book with all your sins. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse all your sins. And you'll be a child of God. We spoke this morning about the birthmarks of a child of God. If you get saved tonight, you can have those birthmarks as a child of God. I would plead with you who's tuned in. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do is call and the Lord will save you. If you're in this meeting tonight without Christ, and I can help you in any way, I'd be only too willing and too pleased to do it. But there's other brethren in the meeting here can help you. But friend, I would plead with you tonight. Be like this man, Naaman. He trusted the Lord. And he went God's way. He went into that river. And on the seven in Scripture is perfection. And his body became perfect. But then he came to God's servant. And he said, "Now I know there is no other God in all the earth, only the God of heaven." Oh, I pray tonight, just like Naaman, that you'll be healed tonight. We're going to close our meeting by singing the hymn. 279, "Pass me not, O gentle Saviour, hear my humble cry. While on others I are calling, do not pass me by. Saviour, Saviour, hear my humble cry. While on others I are calling, do not pass me by." We'll stand to sing, please. Just going to close the meeting in prayer. But friend, if you want to speak to us, speak to us, or speak to some of the men here in the church. But I would plead with you tonight, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, tonight come to trust Him who to know is life eternal. Lord, we thank Thee for Your word tonight. We thank Thee that Naaman not only got healed physically, but he got healed spiritually. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that You'll use this message tonight to those that are tuned in. Lord, may they find Thee as their own and personal Savior. And Lord, if there's one in our meeting tonight that knows You not, may this be the night that they'll come. Lord, bless the mission as it's coming so quickly. And Lord, we pray that You'll draw the people from Tremor and onto this house. You'll bless Your servant who's coming to preach at the mission. And Lord, that precious souls will be won for Thee. Bless the work here, we pray. Now, Lord, spread Thy covering wings around. till all our wandering cease, and at our Father's blessed abode, our souls arrive in peace. Amen.